Can we turn the bass down out there a little bit? Maybe not. Well, okay. We've waltzed, we've breakdown, we've sung, and because I do think of this as a workshop, and I want it to be instructional. And if there's any questions you have about playing, technique, instruments, because I was just thinking the other day, I was fortunate to go to one of the arguably the first bluegrass festival ever in 1965 in Roanoke, Virginia, outside Roanoke and Fincastle. And I got to be at a workshop, first one I ever went to, and the people in the workshop were Bill Monroe, Bob Osborne, Jesse McReynolds, John Duffy, and a young guy named David Grisman. So I learned an awful lot just from sitting there and watching and asking questions. And so if there's, how old was I? In 65, I would have been 13. 58 now. I know what you're thinking. Doesn't look a day over 57, but we're rocking. Down front. Tremolo. How do you approach your tremolo?
Very carefully. Sneaky.
Yeah, I'm. Well, one thing, I had to re-up my insurance policy do the way I do tremolo. That's not easy. Well, tremolo, I mean, and when we speak of tremolo for you non-mandolinists out there, it's basically just, you know, your muscle spasm. And you will notice that different mandolin players have different ways of doing tremolo. I mean, like my pal Dog Grisman, I think he's, you know, the king of tremolo. I love the way he does it. My tremolo, as well as the way my right hand just sits on the top of the instrument. And you will notice, I mean, watch different mandolin players' right hand. Because when I was a kid, I played totally free-handed. In other words, I mean, you have to brace it somewhere, either resting just a little, resting right on the bass side of your bridge. There's got to be some sort of resting reference point. But it's going to be different for different people in the way your hand fits your instrument is what's important. When I was a kid, I know I very much copied Bill Monroe, and the way he would play is what I would call close-handed. And I still tend to play rhythm that way. And I used to play lead that way too, until I was on the way to the second Newgrass Revival job we ever did. And we were traveling through the mountains of Sugar Mountain, North Carolina, and 2-door 62 Buick, and not at all an attractive 62 Buick at that. And but it got us there, and so our bass player, we were going through a snowy, icy, salty road conditions, and so the windshield was totally packed with salt, and I was asleep in the back seat, and our bass player got out to take snow and wipe the salt off the windshield, which he did, but he left the car door open while he was out, and in my sleepy state, I rolled my hand around, and it was in the door when he shut it. And I know, it makes you draw right up, doesn't it? Woo, that'll poot you. It'll wake you up faster than coffee, though, I'm here to tell you that. A lot faster. And so, yeah, unfortunately, the first three fingers got pretty mashed up on my hand. And so by the time I got back where I could play again, it took a few months, I realized that I couldn't hold the pick the same way, that something must have gotten chipped in there or something. And of course, now, you know, what would you do? You go to hand surgeon, you know, check that. At the time, no, we just needed to play and go on. And so that's pretty much what happened. But I had to learn to play in a way that just physically didn't hurt. And so I started bracing my hand. If you noticed, I've kind of braced on the top. Not that unlike the way Doc Watson might brace his hand. Maybe I got it from Doc. So my tremolo tends to run around me needing to brace my hand. And I'm just bracing with my little finger. And one thing, and basically tremolo, you can do it without necessarily specifying timing within your tremolo. And it's just one of those things, if you're learning to play, you just got to get used to it by basically starting very slowly. That's all it is. It's just going back and forth. And the tough part is, as you're learning to do it, just getting your upstroke to be as loud as the down. So I'm trying to get them even, that's your first hurdle. And then, hey, that tractor's got great tremolo. Yeah. Fortunately, I grew up on a farm, so. But I have also learned, and sometimes the way I like to try to approach tremolo is for you, the listener, to actually hear a subdivision in the beats. So, for instance, if I was doing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So you actually are playing it somewhat in time. But really, tremolo is just the art of giving your mandolin a sustain that can't do, you know? Kind of like as if you imagine you had a fiddle bow. But like I say, if you were to watch, you know, if we had 8 mandolin players up here all sitting here and we were all doing tremolo, I think you'd find we were all approaching it maybe a little differently. And it's just really a matter of a personality. But we're all trying to get to the same space of making sustain out of an instrument that has none, pretty much. I mean, really. And it's almost, and I sometimes when I'm playing tremolo, I do think of if you were bowing it with a fiddle bow, how long could you make your note last? Tremolo as I know it. And sometimes you're just nervous and it works out. You with the ball cap. Yeah, that narrowed it down. I'm sorry, I talked over you. Once again, please. Well, I'm using all the pick for the tremolo, but I catch what you're saying and how you hold in the pick. Well, I use these, I don't know if you can see this. It's just your good old normal, what I grew up. I think of as the, you know, a Fender heavy pick, so to speak. And this is a 0.96. And a lot of pickers I know like a heavier gauge pick than that. But I like a pick with a little bit of bend to it. And otherwise, I seem to just rip the strings off of them. And but I don't use the point. I hold it where I actually use the sides of the pick. It's a little bit rounder. And maybe that helps. It seems to agree with the double stringed instrument the best. So really, I'm holding it the same way for tremolo as, you know, any other application when lead playing. Like I say, when I play rhythm, it tends to be closed handed, like that. But I kind of need to brace when I do it. And one thing you might not think about, but there's, for instance, you might as a mandolin player, you might want to search around, like just the angle that you're pick can hit the strings can make a difference. Sometimes I'll be playing and I'm feeling like I'm not getting anywhere, and I look and I realize I don't have the right angle because I don't actually hit the string totally, you know, with the string even with the pick. My hand is probably angled a little bit, so there's probably a little bit of an angle that helps it glide along. I mean, you can make it sound differently with different ways, but so I try not to let too much of the pick hit it, but because of the way I hold the pick, if I let too much of that pick get it, it's going to wear all the skin off the end of my finger anyway, so you got to be. The question was, what was the first song I ever played? You really don't want to hear this song. Actually, the first tune, because I was talking about getting to see Jim and Jesse on TV when I was a kid. And at the time, Jim and Jesse were the first band I ever heard with this incredible banjo player, Alan Shelton, in the band. And Jesse and Alan Shelton would do this tune. first heard that, it was more or less done with banjo and mandolin by Jim and Jesse. So Duel and Banjo is one of the first ones, and also the old fiddle tune, Bow Limb Cabbage Down. My dad taught me that one. Yes, sir, in the back. Question was, mandolin players seem, when they adapt fiddle tunes, seem to simplify them away from fiddle melodies. And you've noticed that I play it like a fiddler. And is that because I also play the fiddle? Probably so, yes. But also because when I first started playing, I listened, my dad would buy these records by this great Grand Ole Opry fiddler named Tommy Jackson. And Tommy always had a mandolin player on there playing with along with the fiddle. And so I really loved the sound of that. And this mandolin player didn't play like a bluegrass player at all. And I later found out why. It was because it was this great country jazz guitar player named Hank Garland who played the mandolin on these Tommy Jackson records. And the guy that told me this played the guitar on those records. And I said, well, I didn't know he played the mandolin. He said, oh, he didn't. He was just a good enough musician. Tommy wanted to play the mandolin, so he picked it up and he played it. And so that's the story of my style. I copied a person that didn't even play the mandolin. Definitely what happened. And I really it was after that, once I started playing these fiddle tunes and stuff and learning these, later I heard Bill Monroe and the way bluegrass people play. And yes, the way Bill Monroe plays a fiddle tune is different than the way, you know, a fiddler would play. And the way, it's like, for instance, the second part of Dusty Miller, a fiddle player would play like this. Bill Monroe would do this. And they're both legit to me, you know? I mean, it's just a difference of the way you might want to play. Yes, sir. Well, the question was just talking about rhythm and how sometimes I let it chop, sometimes we let it ring, and wondered if we could play a tune that would demonstrate some of this choppy kind of rhythm. Yes, we could do that. Sure we could. Thanks.
Oh, huh, okay.
And, but when we talk about rhythm chopping, you know, I mean, it all, that too, it all starts with Bill Monroe for me. And, I've often wondered, did he just let his action get so high that he couldn't press them down all the time? Is that what happened? I mean, I don't know. Really, because I was playing on a record with Peter Rowan one time where it was all Bill Monroe tunes, and my job was to, Bill actually couldn't do the record. He wanted to, and he couldn't do it at the last minute, so Peter asked me to play it, but I needed to be willing to play like Bill, which I'm happy to do, and if I can. So I was playing along, and all of a sudden, Peter goes, no, you don't need to chop rhythm on this. I said, why not? He says, because Bill wasn't chopping yet when he did this song. So I hadn't thought about that. So some, I don't know at what point, maybe in the early 60s, something like that, Bill stopped, did the chop. But with Bill, you could hear almost a complete rhythm formation. In other words, it's almost like if you were playing guitar, and Bill was a great rhythm guitar player, too. Okay, now you start. It's almost as if you're releasing the string as you strike it with your pick. And Bill would do one where you could hear all the beats. And so over the years, I, you know, love rhythm choppers. John Duffy was a wonderful rhythm chopper, really great. And once again, it's all, it's like tremolo. You know, if you hear a bunch of different Malin players, the way Tim O'Brien and chop rhythm, it's different from each other. But I love the way Tim chops. And it's kind of like tremolo. It's going to be a personal thing. You know, Doyle Lawson has his own unique chop. Mike Marshall's wonderful chopper. Chris Thiele's become a great chopper. And as I got more interested in thinking about this rhythm playing, the first time I heard Bob Marley and the Wailers, the way my crazy brain works, it sounded like bluegrass rhythm mandolin to me, the way Bob played rhythm guitar. And like I say, the way my brain works, it makes sense. And so I started just thinking about another way to chop mandolin. And I love simple chords. I love ringing strings and simple chords. It's my favorite A chord. You can't make one simpler. It's like a power chord. It's like smoke on the water. Smoke on the mandolin. And but anyway, but liking to do those kind of chords. And then I guess it was from listening to Bob Marley, or you know, maybe trying to play drums in high school. But I started trying to do a chop where you actually sort of, I'm actually sort of cutting the side of the chop off with the side of my little finger. Because if I'm not chopping, it's this. Trying to just make a, you know, just have more fun playing rhythm. And obviously, yeah, loving drums and the way Bob Marley plays. So, you want to play a song?
Yes, man.
A little song?